Charlotte, North Carolina, and this recording is from one of our church services. For more information, visit our website at churchofphiladelphia.com. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoy the message.
Father, we thank you right now, God. We pray even now for the atmosphere, God, to be conducive for your Holy Spirit, God, to rest about and rule even now, God. Father, we pray even now, God. We give an invitation, God, to your Spirit even now. We say, Holy Spirit, come. And we're asking, God, that your Holy Spirit, God, help us, God, to receive the word, God, to hear the word, God. Help us to make application of your word, Father, in the name of Jesus, God. Father, we're asking right now, God, that you would dig out our ears, God, prepare our ears, God, to hear, God, and prepare our heart, God, to receive what you would speak to us even now, God. I pray right now, God, by your Spirit, God, that you would bring forth revelation, knowledge, God, enlightenment, wisdom, and understanding even now, God, in the name of Jesus, God. Open up the scriptures to us even now, God. Make it plain for us, God, to see, God, to understand, God. And Father, we pray right now, God, everything that will come, God, to distract, God, to the hinder, Lord God. Father, we stand, we arise, God, in the authority that you've given unto us even now, God. And we back it up and we call it subject right now, God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I plead your blood, God, over this word, God. I plead your blood, God, over this, your people, even now, God. I pray, God, hide me behind, Father God, the cross, Lord God. Let the anointing, God, the oil, Father God, that you poured upon my head, let it flow on today, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. God, we give you all the glory, God, and we give you all the honor, and we give you the praise in Jesus' name. We pray, God, and every heart said amen. Amen. Come on, if you have your Bibles, come with me to the book of Mark, chapter number 7. Mark chapter number 7, when you have it, say amen. Can you give me one? I'm going to start at one. Mark chapter 7, starting at verse number 1, and the word of our God reads. Go ahead, they can go ahead and sit. Mark chapter number 7, starting at verse number 1, and the word of our holy God reads, it says, then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defile, that is to say, with unwashing hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands off, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not. And many other things there be, which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups and pots, brazen vessels, and of tables. Then the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashing hands? And he answered and said unto them, well hath Esaias prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men as the washing of pots and cups. For many other such like things ye do. And he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition, and you can be seated in the presence of our living God. Amen. My focus scriptures would be that of verses 6 through 9 and verses 20 through 24. Amen. And as we're continuing with our current sermon series dealing with the whore in your heart, we our foundational scriptures, you got that? Give me Proverbs chapter number 14, verse number 14, where the Bible declares the backslider and heart shall be filled with his own ways, and the good man shall be satisfied from himself. Backslider, what God is dealing with us about is not in the sense that we're rebelling against God, but we're not as close as we once were to God. And God has a problem with that we're no longer close as we used to be. And the thing is, we get close for for our own selfish reasons or our own selfish game or our own selfish desires. That's why the Bible declares that the backside of our heart shall be filled with its own ways. We have our own way of doing things. We have our own way of believing why we should be close to God or when we should be close to God. No. But the scripture declares that a good man shall be satisfied from himself. And for those of us who have slid in back, who are not as close as we once were to God, if you're honest with yourself, you're not as satisfied as you once were. Sure, there are other things that you've obtained. Yeah, you have more money than you ever had before. But guess what? The money still doesn't satisfy you in the depths of your soul. You have more recognition. You have more Facebook followers and more people following you on Twitter. But guess what? That's still not enough to bring you satisfaction down on the inside of your soul. I don't care. You can get 1 million views and 1 million likes. But guess what? It's not enough that brings you satisfaction on the inside of who you are to be distant from God. The prophet Isaiah prophesied, as we just read, the prophecy that Isaiah was speaking about in Isaiah chapter number 29, verse number 13. He says, wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near to me with their mouth and their lips do honor me. In other words, we know how to draw close with our communication, but the Lord is letting us know that your heart is far from me. You know how to talk a good game. You know how to talk to get close, but in reality, you're really not that close when it comes to your heart. Because if we look at scripture, when we go to the book of Samuel, remember when God called the prophet Samuel to anoint David as king? And we can find every reason why David shouldn't be king. He's a young boy. He's uneducated. He hasn't been in any battles. He doesn't know how to lead a nation. Only thing he knows how to do is take care of his father's sheep. But the Lord declared unto the prophet, don't look at his outward appearance as men do. For I, the Lord, look at the heart of the man. And his heart was right. So beyond our good talk game, God sees the heart. God hears the heart. God is interested in the heart. So he says, and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me. And their fear towards me is taught by the perception of men. In other words, their fear, their reverence, their respect for me is now being taught by the precept of men. Men who no longer want to be close to God. Men who no longer trust God. Men who no longer lay their hearts on the altar before God. Men who no longer cry out to God. Men who no longer seek God. Men who are just relying upon a past experience, but not abiding with God consistently, not remaining in the presence of God. Take me back to Mark. And so we follow up in the book of Mark. Go to number 6. We're going to go with my focus scriptures. Number 6. Here we see the same word Christ is now quoting the prophet Isaiah. Because what we find out, after all these things just happened, after Jesus just fed 5,000 people with some fish and bread, another miracle began to take place. As he sent his disciples ahead of him, he went up into the mountain to pray alone. And the Bible talks about how he prayed until it was late in the evening. And when he began to meet up with his disciples, they were already at set sail in the boat. But yet now they see somebody come walking on the water. And it was customary in that culture, in that day and age, they would believe when they saw things walking on the water that it was a ghost, it was a spirit. And this is why the fear gripped their heart when they saw Christ. Because customarily it was, okay, when you saw it was a spirit or it was a ghost. That's why Christ heralded out, be not afraid, it is I. As in old Peter, good old Peter, if it's you, bid me come, God, come. Come on out here to the deep, come. Come where the air is thin, come. Come where it's going to require every faith, all faith for every step that you take, come. Come where people are unwilling to tread, come. Do I have anybody that's willing to come out of the boat? Come where it's no longer safe anymore, come. Come on something that you don't even know. It's not even naturally, it doesn't supposed to support you, but come. If you just come, my word will hold you up. My word will support you. My word will be a foundation on something that's unstable. Just come. And all these miracles that's just taking place. They reached the shores of Gennesaret and the Pharisees and the scribes come. The religious leaders, yeah, they come. Those that are familiar with the word of God, familiar with handling the word, familiar with breaking down the word of God and bringing about an understanding, helping us to interpret the Mosaic law, the traditions of the law. The leaders come. And they question him about his disciples. Why do your disciples eat with dirty hands? As a Jew, according to the law, this is not what we do. To eat with dirty hands is to mean that you are defiled, you are dirty, you're unclean. And one thing about the religious leaders, we got to be careful about the religious leaders. Because how the leaders live, the people will live. Oh, I wish I had some help in here. Y'all might not help me, but the Holy Ghost, the Bible tells me that the Holy Ghost, he is a helper, and he's going to help me if y'all don't help me. It's quite all right. Yeah, we got to be mindful how the religious leaders live, because how the leaders live, the people are prone to live in the same manner. So if you got leaders that are unwilling to surrender their heart to God, then guess what? You're going to have unsurrendered sheep. If you got religious leaders who are perverted, then guess what? You're going to have perverted houses and perverted churches. If you have leaders that are rebellious, I'm here to submit to you, you're going to have rebellious people. Why? Because it all comes back to the heart, to the heart, to the heart. And the title that we're working with today, it is a word for the heart. Oh, yes, your word needs a heart. Your word needs a heart. Your heart needs a word. I should say, you know what I'm saying. It needs a word from the Most High God. So we're here. And these religious leaders are questioning Jesus. And he begins to quote the prophetic word. He answered and said unto them, well have Esaias or Isaiah prophesied of you, you hypocrites. Hypocrites in the Greek is denoting pretenders, actors on the stage. You look the part, you play the role well. But if we were to check your heart, you know all the right things to say. You know exactly the right thing to say, when to say it. You know the exact moment to say the right thing. But God wants to look at your heart. God wants to deal with your heart. And one thing about these religious leaders, but their hearts were not right. Their hearts were not in a place where they honored God, where they wanted God as being first. They wanted tradition over God. You know somebody, and you sure enough can relate. He said, hypocrites, as it is written, this people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And as the sermon series talk about dealing with the whore in the heart, I'm suggesting to you some days your heart is the actual whore. Oh, yes. Some days it's your heart that's the whore. It's your heart that's unfaithful to God. Oh, y'all not going to talk to me, but I'm going to show talk to you. Your heart wants every other thing but God. Yes, dear. Your heart is chasing after money, but you're not chasing after the presence of God. You're not chasing after the word from God. You're not chasing after instruction for God, the direction of the leading from God, but you're chasing everything but the presence of God. It's your heart that's the whore that we're dealing with today. But one thing about the whore, God loves the whore, and God wants to save the whore. Oh, you ought to be glad. You need to lay that whorish heart on the altar. Yeah, and let the consuming fire that's on the altar burn it up. Burn up the whorish ways and the whorish tendencies on the inside of your heart. Because your heart needs to get back to a place where it's committed to God. Your heart needs to get back to a place where it's devoted to God. It's loyal to God. It's subject to God. It obeys the voice of God and the word of God. We're to a point where even the word doesn't move us like it used to move us. We're to a point we don't even reverence the word of God. Why? There is an issue of the heart.
Give me seven. I'm not staying here long. He says, how be it in vain do they worship me with all your hands lifted up, with all your singing and your dancing, with all your laying prostrate on your face at the altar, with all your hallelujah and your thank you Jesus and your glory to God. He said, but yet you worship me in vain. Why? Because it is a heart issue. The heart is not right. And nobody wants to be told they have an issue with their heart. Oh, but God is calling you to the carpet to come deal with your heart. There was a word for your heart. I want to deal with the whore. That is the heart. Understand our definition that we've been using for the word whore or prostitute, and we use those words interchangeably. It is one who violates his or her honor by offering to hire his or her body for base gain or for unworthy doing, specifically for sexual intercourse. Whores and prostitutes. Our hearts have become whores and prostitutes because we violated our honor unto God by violating this temple. Using this body to chase after everything but God. Using this body to desire everything but God. Wanting everything but God. No, I'm not calling you a whore. No, I'm not calling you a prostitute. But the truth be told, it's really who we are. Some of us are nothing but saved, delivered whores and prostitutes. Well, let's be real. You slept around before you got saved. See, we get in church and we start being religious. These were the original temple whores and prostitutes, these religious leaders. Prostituting and whoring themselves for the tradition, chasing after the tradition, the laws, rather than seeking the presence of God. Here you have the Messiah in your presence, but yet you are more mindful of the Mosaic law. You want the tradition of man rather than having the Messiah, the Jesus, the Christ. Traditions, a way of thinking or doing something for an extended period of time. This is just what I do. This is just how I think. This is just me. This is just how I am. But guess what? You need to change. We don't care. That's how long you've been doing it. You need to change. You with your self-righteous self need to change. You with your arrogant and prideful self need to change. You who swear you better than everybody else need to change. You who think it's all about you need to change. You with your angry, mad, resentful, bitter, unforgiving self need to change. You with your lustful, perverted self need to change. You with your rebellious and hard-headed, stiff-necked, you need to change. From the pulpit to the door. You need to change. Why? Unless you change. He said your worship is what? It's empty. Meaning it is hollow. Yeah, you understand to throw your hands up, extend your hands. All of this to bow down, the prostrate. All of this call on his name to tell him that he's holy, to tell him that he's worthy, to tell him that he's wonderful, to tell him that he is the great I am, to tell him that how excellent is your name in all the earth. You know to do all of that, but still, it's empty. And it's nothing like doing something. I'm talking about working. Only for the work that you put in to be worthless.
And then we get upset with God because God is not responding. Why should he respond to emptiness? Why should he respond to something that's worthless? They do worship me. It's in vain that they do worship me, teaching for the doctrines, the commandments of men. Not the commandment of God, but the commandments of men. My way. Sounds familiar to anybody? My way. No, do it like this. My way. No, I don't like it like this. I like it like this. My way. That is nothing more than the commandment of man. That's your commandment. That's your commandment. Does doing it your way lined up with how God says to do it? When you look at your life and how you're carrying out your life, how you're walking out your life day in and day out, are you walking in the ways of the Lord or are you walking out your own ways? Let's see. If you're trying to figure out, if you're not submitted to God, then guess what? You're walking in your ways. How can you be submitted if your heart is not submitted? Because when you understand the heart is the place where decisions are made, it is the thing that controls, matter of fact, in the Hebraic concept, it says it's the thing that controls the inside life. There was a life that's taking place on the inside. I know outside there's a whole lot of life to live and a whole lot of life going on, but guess what? There was a life on the inside, and the thing that controls the life on the inside, it is the heart. And if the heart is not surrendered, if the heart is not submitted to God, I'm suggesting to you that guess what? You are not a submitted individual. That's why you get upset when your boss is right saying what they're saying. But because you don't like it, you don't want nobody to say anything to you. It's proof that you are not surrendered. You are not submitted. It's a heart issue. Doesn't matter whether or not you agree. Think about it. That's why children raise up with parents. They don't like nothing we say. Because it's proof that you are unsubmitted. You're not submitted at all. You're so smart till you don't know crap. No, see, we got to really be real with our children. Our children don't even understand their lives. They have been so guarded to they're naive to this real world. You don't even have a real clue what's waiting on you in this real world. Why? Because we have kept y'all covered and protected by the prayers that we prayed for y'all, solving issues for you. So to the first time you feel like you got over, got around us, got beyond us because you lied. So because you lied, you got a whole bunch of nonsense. Not because you lied, you smarter than us now. But get old. How old are you? At best, you're 15, right? Forget we were 15. Forget some of us done lived 15 years twice over. But you smarter than us. Because you lied one time and we didn't catch it right away. Now the proof is you are a rebel is all that is. The only one who have issues with the rules or the laws are the rule breakers. My way. See what your way will get you in the real world. You know how fast some of us wanted to get out of the house with our mom and them, and then when we hit that real world, we was like, man, mama, I say mama, can you pay a bill for me? Jesus Christ, mama, can I borrow $100? This is the time you're supposed to be sowing into the life of your parents. It's crazy. Some of us are 30 plus 5, 20 plus 8, and you still asking your mama for money. Mama, I hate to ask you. I ain't got no gas money, man. I ain't got no gas money to get to work. I got to go to work, mama. Mama, can I borrow $20? Oh, I'm serious. Borrowing $5 from my mother-in-law, my mama there, budgeting $5 for the week. Hey, listen, we got to get hit. No, we can't go there because, listen, we just got $5 for gas. Well, some of y'all know what I'm talking about. You supposed to be sown into the lives of your parents now. Even one of the laws or the traditions that they're speaking about, when you go down to the scripture, verse number 11 in particular, begins to talk about the korban, which is an offering given towards the taking care of the parents. These religious leaders was like, well, no, I don't want to give to my parents. I would rather give to the house of God. Oh, you want to look like you are so concerned about the things of God. Being concerned about the things of God is taking care of your parents. No, I gotta give to the house of God. The house of God. Stop it. You a lie. Some of us don't want to give back to our parents because we're still not healed. Because you felt like they misunderstood you, they rejected you, they overlook you, they showed favoritism to one of your siblings, so I ain't giving back. Well, they got my sister, that was your favorite, let them take care of you. Oh yeah, I know it's real stuff, I'm talking to y'all, yes I am, because it's a real truth. Some of you felt like your sibling was the favorite. You knew they were the favorite. They didn't have to ask. Mama and them were thinking if they needed it. You need this, right? And you looking like, I'm over here asking. I actually need it. I'm letting you know that I need it. But you just popping off giving them stuff. What the world? I'm out here trying to do right. I'm out here trying to live saved. I'm out here trying to be right. They ain't trying to live nothing, but you are more willing to do for them. I'm talking about they actually the black sheep. They're the troublemaker. I'm trying to be good. No, some parents be like, because you know that's my baby. That's my baby now. I'm going to do for my baby. I could have swore we came out the same matrix. That means womb. That means woman, biblical term. I could have swore we came out the same womb, so I'm just not your child. Right, that's the truth. And some of us, because we're not healed because of that, you've already made your mind up. Now, I help when I got it to help, but I ain't finna be sacrificing the hell because mama, you should have did better with your mama money, mama. Who are you? You are still the child. Mama, like you told me, mama, you should have handled your money better, mama. Because, see, I got children now. Well, guess what? When your mama had you and all your siblings, she had children when you was in the mix asking for stuff. She still had children. That ain't never stopped you from asking. And guess what? You expected her to figure it out. Now, some of us, we got our own families now. You too good to help your parents. I gotta ask my husband. Ask your husband. We're not telling you to be out of order. But if your husband or your wife is unwilling to do for your parent, baby, that is a sign. This is not the man that God is calling me. This is not the woman that God is calling me to. Because guess what, baby? You ain't just marrying me, but you marrying my family. And if you have an issue with my family, baby, you're gonna have an issue with me the day that we get married. I might just leave you at the altar. Because if my family ain't worthy of your money, baby, I ain't worthy of your money. You can keep that. And you better pay attention to what they doing now. Now, I found out, don't marry them unless they show you they crazy. Because everybody got a little crazy in them. Don't marry them until you see they crazy.
Oh, you better ask somebody. Don't you marry them until they show you they're crazy. See, that's where most folk have messed up. They didn't see the crazy. Now they're seeing that crazy after they done said them vows. And you looking like, what in the, who in the... This is not the same. What? Some of us going to God. God, you tricked me. Oh, you tricked me. God. No, God didn't trick you. You trick yourself. You close your eyes to what they were saying and what how they were acting and what they were doing. Now, they just made him mad. Oh, well, what happens when you make him mad? The same way he cussed them out. You next, you're next, you're next, you're next, you're next. Oh, yeah. The same way he want to tear up their stuff. Guess what? Your stuff is next, is next, is next. It is next. Then y'all stuff is next. He going to tear up y'all stuff. I don't care because I'm mad. You fool. Tearing up our stuff that we got to go and now replace. Something is wrong with you. All the signs were there. Yeah, all the signs were there. Stop it, because you're trying to make me say that. Stop it. All the signs were there. But you wanted to overlook him. He's so cute. Look at him. And you wanted to overlook him. Come on. Come on. Preach, Neo. Oh, you so cute when you angry. Deception. You look cute when your face frown up like that. Okay. All the frowns ain't came out yet. You just see that little small one right there in their forehead. But what about that frown that comes around her mouth? What about that frown when she put on that cotton gown? Oh, she frowning then. Frowning down on set. Man, you ain't getting none of this. See, you don't like all of them frowns. She frowning on the fact that you told her don't spend no money. I'm going to spend it anyway because I make my own money. I got money too. Okay. No, that's her frowning. She look cute with her frowns. Okay. We'll holler at you in about a year and see if her frowns still look cute. In about a year. That's if some of y'all make it to a year. Man, I don't know what I was thinking, man. I'm telling you, man, she about to drive me crazy, man. She about to drive. Oh, my God. About to pull your hair out. We tried to. See, some that we be trying to tell folk. You better watch this. We're not saying don't marry. We're not saying we don't believe this is God's person for you. But another thing I learned, don't you marry potential. Everybody has the potential to be somebody great. Oh, my God. Everybody has the potential to be a great man of God, a great woman of God. But it is a rare thing that people actually walk in their potential, which turns into purpose. And see, too many of us have married potential. They look like they were going to be somebody great. They look like they knew how to manage money well. They look like they were going to be loving to their... Sounds familiar? Does it sound familiar? They look like they that they was going to take care of me. I wasn't going to be struggling like this here. I just knew I was going to be doing better because when I was by myself, I was not even struggling. I was getting my hair done, my nails done, my feet done. I was able to buy me a purse every now and again. I had to fly a shoe. I stayed lit. Now I got 2 years worth of old clothes. Sounds familiar? I'm looking at everybody else getting new kicks, and I'm still walking around here with these scats on. That's a Florida term, y'all. It's a Florida term. That mean like po' boys, like shoes with like cartoon characters on them and stuff. Like shoes like with no shoe strings, like the Velcro. Like, man, you got, man, I am not slow. Why you got me in these straps, man? I'm getting off target. I'm just saying. Y'all know, come on. Some of y'all were doing good. Bro, you kept a haircut. What about my hair? Ah! I need my hair did. Can I get my hair cut one time?
in here trying to line your head up. Let her be happy. Go get your hair done. I said, why you going to have me looking like this? I can't be seen like this. I'm your wife. I don't care what they look like. You said you were not going to have me looking like this. You think I'm trying? You think I'm waking up saying, I'm going to have you looking a mess? I'm trying to show you I'm in it with you. I'm looking a mess. We in this together. I have given you more opportunities to go, though. I'm just saying, it's been 3 months. Can I please get my hair cut, man? Oh, you know, you have to pick and choose who's going to be able to get what. We can't do it at the same time, because if we do it at the same time, the budget about to take a significant hit. So we have to pick and choose who's going to be satisfied for this momentary purchase. Teaching for the doctrines of the commandments of man. Doing things your way. When are you going to start doing it God's way? We told you that the heart, is what controls the inside life. And in order to get into the heart, honor. Denoting the value, the worth. When you honor someone, letting them know that they value, letting them know that they matter, letting them know that they mean something to you, it opens the inside door or the inside house, the heart. Women, we all need love, but it seems to be that you need a little bit more love in particular. Because the Bible says, husbands, love your wife. Wives, submit. Honor. So you, it seems to be, now we all need love, but you in particular need a little bit more love. We need respect. To put some respect on my name. Oh yeah, put some respect on my name. Put some respect on my name. See, like we told you last week, some of y'all, you haven't even gotten to the heart of the individual. You just in the mind, you're in the head. They only tell you what they're thinking about. And you're lucky if you're in their head, because some of y'all are not even in their head. You still trying to figure them out. You still trying to, I don't even know them. We've been together 5 years and I don't even know them. I know it is. It's a real thing. Sleeping in the bed with somebody that you don't even know. You don't know the basics, their favorite color. Don't you even know what size shoe they wear? Size shirt they wear? Do you even know? What they like, do you even know? And this goes for husbands and wives, boyfriends and girlfriends, whatever the case may be. Do you even know the person that you claim you love, but you can't tell us nothing about them? Other than they yell all the time. They're so angry. They never want to talk. They always leaving the cabinets open. I think he get it from his mama. One of y'all leave the cabinets open. It's a real thing. One of y'all leave the cabinets open. And y'all don't think it's a problem. I did not know they were just going to get undressed. Like the dirty clothes basket is right there. I just did not know they were going to get undressed and leave all their dirty clothes like right here. I just did not know that. I didn't know that. I keep wondering what the smell is when I walk in the room. Like, man, what is that smell? It's the dirty drawer right there at the door. No. See, initially, this stuff doesn't matter. We know how to look past all of that. But when they get the last name, oh, you can say what you want to say. You can date for 25 years. You can tell my y'all come and like whatever the case may be. There's no relationship like the marriage relationship. Things change when we say I do. Oh, you've been having Kodak moments all the time. Folk be trying to true colors. God, because you got to understand, God wasn't interested in you being so in love. He designed the marriage covenant to make you become more holy. Holiness is not just about being sanctified or being separate. But we've explained to you, it's about love and demonstration, love and action. You loving someone, I'm talking about another individual, more than you love yourself. Marriage is designed to make you come outside of yourself and give of yourself. It's glorified servanthood. Ooh, they didn't like that. It's glorified servanthood. So you talking about, oh, we about to make love. We about to be in the bed all day. No, you got to go to work, boo. So you lied. Thinking y'all about to just be in the bed. Because the bills are not going to pay themselves. And they're not going to, their appetite for stuff is not about to decrease. Matter of fact, it's when they get married, they actually, they want more stuff. In their mind, this works both ways. I believe I should have more stuff. Why? Because our incomes combined mean more money. So I should be able to have more stuff. No. What a deception. Well, they don't tell you when you get, as a man, nothing in the house is going to have your touch on it. All the little flowers and potpourri, and you looking like, what the world? I wish somebody would have told me. I don't know why we're going this way. Lord, we're trying to deal with that whorish heart. Listen, you got to know, man, you ain't nothing gonna have your touch. That's why you find most men trying to get a man cave. Right. But now they pushing you out the way. Because they like, nah, you ain't having no man cave. I'm about to have a lady lair. She said, lady lair. Because I got to have my me time. Every room is yours. The tissue that I got to clean with got hearts on. You looking like, what the fuck is this? Some days I just want some rough toilet paper. Cut me. So I know that I'm a man. Chill. I'm just soft this man. I just got to know that I'm a man. All the cups got flowers on. You looking like, man, what in the world? Bed, she's got flowers. You looking like, man, just give me a blanket. Why I got to have all the... No, somebody should have told you. I'm just trying to tell you. Everything going to have her touch on it now. So you better be prepared for that. And I'm telling you, some of them will get to the point they'll start trying to dress you. I like that on you. They'll start holding shirts up to you like, that right. They trying to change. I'm trying to tell you, they're not going to be honest with you and tell you they don't believe you can dress. But then some of them will be honest and like, it was not how you dressed that I let you get me. You were cute. You were cute. Your dressing, no. You can stand some help in that area. I'm just telling you. Some days you ought to just do what like you ought to do like I do some days. I'm going to go ahead and put it out there someday what I be doing. Some days I just look at couples when they come in and look at how they dress.
Oh God. Oh God. Just saying.
Give me my next verse, man. He said, "For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men as the washing of pots and cups and many other such like things ye do." You're not concerned about the commandment of God, the word of God. But you're more concerned about the commandment of men, the tradition of men, doing things the way that man does and the thing that man said they're okay with. Rather than being concerned with the commandment, the word of God, how God says to do it. Give me the next verse. He said what? And he said unto them, "Full well, ye reject the commandment of God, that ye keep your own tradition." Some of us, we can relate to that. I reject the God because I don't know how God said to do it is too hard. I have an easier way. Some of us together, we're not saying I got a better way. I got an easier way of doing it. And then there were some of us that were actually saying, "No, I got a better way." Do you understand? Take me to my focus scripture, verse number 20. This is what? And he said, "That which cometh out of the mouth, that defileth the man." And they begin to talk about the food Christ is speaking to his disciples. And he's telling them what defiles a man. And when they go inside this house, they begin to ask questions. "Well, Rabbi, can you explain the parable to us?" Because they begin to tell them, it's not what goes into the man that defiles the man. It's what's already in the man that defiles him. And so they begin to ask for clarity. And he said, "That which cometh out of the man, that's the thing that defiles the man." Give me verse. Give me the next verse. He says, "For from within, out of the heart, out of the inside life, the thing that controls the inside life, proceed what? Evil thoughts." And see, what I was suggesting to you about your heart actually being the whore. Because when you look at all of these different things, the perceived evil thoughts, the adulteries, the fornication, the murders, your heart has had intercourse with this. And see, intercourse is not necessarily always a means of sexual intercourse. Intercourse is a means of communication, expressing your thoughts and your feelings. And if the heart is the central location of a place of feelings and the place that decisions are made, how many times have you, your heart, the whore, your heart, actually had intercourse with evil thoughts? Meaning, you had a wrong perception. I know I'm right. They're wrong. They just don't understand me. What's so hard with you being wrong? I get it, it doesn't feel good. Nobody wants to ever be wrong. But guess what? There are going to be plenty of times that you're wrong. If not, he's showing you there's a reason why you just hate being wrong, because there's a heart issue. He said, then adulteries, committing fornication with someone other than the spouse. Or just having fornication. The Bible speaks about adultery as simply just having fornication. As well as having fornication with someone other than your spouse. How many times have your heart had intercourse with fornication? Where you thought about what it would be like to be with this person? Ooh, my. Y'all haven't reached that stage yet. But you've already been thinking about what it would be like. And then for my youth who are eager to experience sex, think about it, they read about it, they go research it on YouTube, the internet, all these different stuff. Oh, yeah, yeah, smile at me, Josiah. He laughing at me now. Look at it. He laughing at me now. You know what I'm talking about? They know what I'm talking about. I want to know what it's about. I'm curious. I see it on all the TV shows around me. Fornications. Then the fornication itself, just going to have illicit sex. How many times has your heart just expressed, thought about? You know, nowadays it's that term, you can get it. Oh, y'all know what I'm talking about. If they look good enough, if they look like they got themselves together, oh, you can get him. We ain't even got to have no long conversation. I don't need to know your social security number. I don't need to know your address. You can get it, though. No, we're moving in a day and age where, listen, we dating folks now based upon just a swipe left and right now. Oh, that's my one. That's the day and age we're living in. And nobody said, because guess what? Everything is so about time. I don't have time to understand you. I don't have time to know you. What I need to know, are you body? Let me hear you say, If you body, that's all I need to know. Oh, I want to know how many brothers you got. I want to know your address. I just need to know where we going to meet. That's it. No, y'all laughing, but this is real life for people. I saw an article the other day said, guess what? People are having more success with finding a relationship on the internet technology. Technology. Meaning, we don't do it the old traditional or the old-fashioned way anymore. Sit down, let me know you. I'm going to go about what you put up here on your in your status or, you know, your profile, I should say. When most of them be lying. You know they lying. You just curious about the picture. The picture, how they look, has already let you think in your head about fornicate. You can get it. Child, look at him. You don't know if he's a bank robber. Look at him. You don't know if he's a child abuser. Yeah, you got to go old school. You don't know if he's a child. Look at him. Somebody that look like this won't abuse no child. Y'all know people defend that stuff. The most abusive ones are the most handsome ones. The most beautiful ones. And then if you tell the truth, it's the most handsome and the most beautiful ones are the most whorish ones. It's some of us who was a little bit physically challenged. you ain't get to whore around that much. Because you was physically challenged a little bit. It's them folk that walk in the store and folk just get them free stuff. Oh, that's a whore right there. They come in the store. Here, sir, these are a little good on you. Yeah. That's a key indicator. That's a whore. I'm telling you, they ain't got to work for nothing. They used to stuff being given to them for free. So if you know if they giving them free stuff in the store, folk lining up, you can get it. Because folk done looked at their hair. Folk done looked at their teeth. And they thinking, well, if I have this baby, my baby going to have good hair. My baby going to have good teeth. What? Murderers. The heart has had intercourse with murder. Your heart has expressed, it has thought about, it has felt murder. I wish you'd go ahead and be real. It may not always be to kill an individual, but it is to kill their joy. When you're getting revenge on somebody, guess what? I'm going to kill their joy. I'm going to kill their peace. I'm going to kill their happiness. I'm going to kill their hope. I'm going to kill their inspiration. I'm going to kill their dream. I'm going to kill all that. Murderer. Right? Some of us are not real. Think about how many times you killed the moment. I think I'm going to walk on that one. How many times you killed the moment? I don't feel good. Ah, murderer! I'll raise my hand on that one. The moment is not always an intimate moment. There are moments that we want to have family time, but because this is not what you want to do, murderer. Times that we have a church-wide event, but you find something else better to do. Murderer! You can't never show up to the church event
the family church event.
I got something.
Murderer. Always killing the moment. Then you come with an attitude, man, that you got to be there. Murderer. Killing the vibe. Killing the mood. Everybody was okay until you with your depressed, mad, angry self came here because you don't want to be here, arms all folded, mouth and lips poking out your mouth. Got an attitude. You rolling a bowling ball down about to break the people's stuff. Murderer! Yeah. You see it everywhere you go. Those are moments that are being killed. Murderous moments that is taking place. Your heart has had intercourse with murder. But somewhere in your heart, in your mind, you keep telling yourself that you're a good person. But your heart, this is what your heart, he says, what defiles a man is what's already in you. You know, some people have the audacity to say, you made me this way. No, boo, it was already in you. You make me this mad. No, anger was already in you. Murder was already in you. I ain't never think about busting nobody upside the head till I got but you. No, God just used me to pull it out of you. It was already there. You thought it wasn't there, but it was already there. You just had it hidden, covered up under a lot of things. But the truth of the matter, you are a murderer at heart. We don't talk like this in church. Because guess what? You got a bunch of religious leaders want to bypass your raggedy, nasty heart. All they want to say, you can make it. Let me see you make it with that raggedy heart. Let me see you make it with that adulterous, fornicating heart. Let me see you make it with that murderous heart. Let me see you make it with that heart that has evil thought. Let me see you make it. Can anybody stand up right now and say they've made it? Can you stand up and say you're making it? Lord, I'm making it now. I haven't made it, but I am making it. You know why? Because he that have begun a good work in me. Oh, you don't understand. The Bible declares that he that have done a good work in me, he's going to perfect that thing until the day of Jesus Christ. Come on, God. You can work on this nasty heart, God. You can work on this perverted heart, God. You can work on this lustful heart, God. You can work on this rebellious heart, God. This murderous heart, God. This wicked heart, God. This evil heart, God. This lazy heart, God. This bitter heart, God. This resentful heart, God. This unforgiving heart, God. This adulterous heart, God. This evil heart, God, that has evil motives and intentions, God. Work on my heart. Me 22, he says, well, the other thing that's on, he said, thefts. Your heart has had intercourse with thefts. I know you don't consider yourself to be a thief. And we're not even going all the way back in your past when you stole that nickel off your mama dresser. Yeah, some of you stole it. We're not even talking about when you steal attention from somebody else, significant other. Because, you know, some of us come in the room with the intent to make heads turn and to catch eyes. Oh, yes, you do. I am one of them. I come up in this joint. I'm going to spray myself with about 85 sprays of cologne because I want what I want by you to smell me. After I done got to where I'm supposed to be, you still smell my fragrance walking by. Oh, yes, understand. I'm trying to catch eyes and make heads turn. Yes, I am. It would be a lie if I said I wasn't, but the truth is that, yes, I am. So guess what? Thief. But that ain't even what I want to deal with. I want you to understand, this is what God began to do when he said, okay, about the thefts in the heart. Because y'all are familiar with the term identity theft, right? Identity theft. Now, God looks at you as a thief. Because most of us are out here trying to steal another identity. He called you man of God, but now you don't want to be man of God. It's easy just being man. No, identity theft. No. He called you a man of integrity, a woman of integrity. But every time you open the mouth, a lie is falling out your mouth. Deception and manipulation is falling out your mouth. Identity theft. No, he called you a man of integrity, a woman of integrity. He called you to be a man of holiness, a woman of holiness, a man and woman of righteousness. But every opportunity you get, you trying to be by identity theft. He looks at you as a thief. Be who he called you to be. Then he said, covetousness. Your heart has had intercourse with covetousness. Oh, yeah. Greedy for more. An insatiable appetite for more. I'm talking about you had plenty on your plate, but guess what? What you had is not enough. Oh, your wife gave it to you real good, but it was not enough. You still find yourself getting up the next day looking at butt. Breast. Ta. Oh, you got to understand, baby, you were stealing looks, and at the same time, it was showing that you was a covetous individual, and you need help. You ought to say, help, Lord, with my greedy heart. Enough is never enough for you. Never satisfy. Oh, y'all not going to tell the truth? Never satisfy. Not satisfied with the money you got? Not satisfied with the compliments you're getting? Not satisfied with the conversation you're getting? Not satisfied with the touch you're getting? Not satisfied with the gifts you're getting? Greedy. And then he talks about wickedness, these evil purposes and desires. Your heart has had intercourse with evil desires, evil purposes. No, he's saying you're guilty of thinking something evil, wicked, of wanting to commit something evil or wicked. He said, you know why? Because it's your heart. Then he says, deceit. Being deceitful. Y'all can relate. Because you had folks thinking you were one thing. But as time has gone by, that's why I see the old folks say, just give it time, baby. Everything will reveal itself in a matter of time. Just give it time. And see, because most of us are so impatient, you never see what you want to see or really need to see because you keep rushing things. But if you just develop some patience, if you would just allow patience to have a perfect work in you, the Bible says, no, in this, that faith, it is trying your patience. And patience is trying to have a perfect work on the inside of you. But because most of us are impatient, you never see what God wants you to really see. You never come into the knowledge of what God wants you to come into the knowledge of. Why? Because you're so deceitful. You swear you be tricking everybody else when you're really tricking yourself. Then he says, lasciviousness, uncontrollable lust. Uncontrollable lust. I can't help it. Why did you do that? I don't know. I just had something was calling me. I messed around and ran up on some porn by accident. Oh, I'm going to go ahead and tell the truth. I ran up on some porn by accident. I'm not talking about that semi-soft porn. I'm talking about some real stuff. I said, what the blood of Jesus. I think, see, pornography was never a struggle like that for me. I'm not saying I never watched it or entertained, but it never had a grip or hold on me. I'm telling y'all, this is me. This was a couple of months ago. I ran up on this thing. I said, oh, my God, the devil is a liar. The next day, I said, Pastor Ivan. I said, bruh,
I got this new TV stuff. And got this new TV stuff, and they give you all these different channels. And I ran up on this. I said, bruh, I just did not know it was going to be like this. So I began to explain to him what was taking place. And I was like, bruh, I said, now, I remember being home by myself. I said, bruh, my wife was at work. My kids were at somebody's house. So I was home alone. I'm telling you, that pornography was calling my name. It was like you hear somebody saying, come, Lincoln, Lincoln, there's nobody here. No, nobody will know you even watching this. Nobody will know you entertain yourself. Nobody will know that, hey, this fulfill the desire in you. No, nobody will know, because if you don't tell nobody, nobody gonna pick it up. Listen, Lincoln, just turn the channel to me. Devil, you a lie in the name of Jesus. The blood is against you. I had to get up and pray, y'all. That thing was calling me. I said, God, now this is the devil. I've never had this struggle with this thing. I said, Ivan. I said, bro, am I crazy? I said, bro, this thing was calling me. He said, bro, it calls out. I said, bro, that scared me. I've never struggled with nothing like that. I said, bro, That thing called out to me. You're only drawn away by your own inward lust. You're only tempted by your own inward lust. Uncontrollable lust. See, when you think about it, my love language is touch. It's the need of wanting to be touched. Because my love language is touch, it's like I can never have enough of being touched. I need to be touched. And that doesn't mean in a sexual manner. This is how love is spoken to me. I can never get enough of being loved. If your love language is words of affirmation, then guess what? You always find yourself seeking and looking for somebody to affirm you. Say something nice to you. Say something nice about you. If your love language is gifts, you always got your hand ready to receive a gift. Not that you asked for one, but your hand is so ready to receive one. Just in case somebody happens to bring a gift your way. Why? Because this is how love is spoken to you. So it becomes uncontrollable in you. And God is trying to get us to discipline our nature. Discipline the heart, because if you don't, guess what? Your heart will be out of control with lust. And it won't just abide in your heart, but this lust will begin to, it'll just permeate in other areas. That's why the Bible talks about lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, all these. Why? Because it was in your heart initially. Then he says what? An evil eye. But even when you're talking about this evil eye, it's not just that, you know. It's the mindset. The understanding. Know how we talk about open up the eyes of my heart, my understanding. Your understanding is evil. Your understanding is perverted. Your understanding is bad. And it started with the heart, the place where the emotions and the thoughts are taking place or made. Evil. Perceptions. And then he says, blasphemy. What? Injurious speech. Speech that harms people. I can't stand you. See, you never take into consideration what you just said, how that affected them. You get on my nerves. You make me sick. You have injured them with your words. As much as they say, whatever, I'm over there, that don't mean nothing to me, please, that didn't bother me. Lie, go back to verse, right there, the third word, 1, 2, 3, 4, get my counting off. Number 4, go back to deceit. It's a deception. They don't want you to see them weak, they don't want you to see them hurting, but the reality, your words will either bring life or your words will bring death. And the truth be told, some of y'all are slowly killing people that are in your life. So guess what, murderer is a fitting title for you, because you're killing people as you injure them with your tongue. You're bringing death and not bringing light to them. Baby, people
people are on their deathbed right now, and you don't even realize that because of how you've spoken to them.
Then he says, pride. This is what tripped me out about pride. In the Greek, pride speaks to what? A swollen character. Now, we know anything that's swollen is what? It's unhealthy. Ooh, anything swollen, it is infected. A swollen character. You have an unhealthy character. Your character has been infected because of your heart. And nobody wants to say that I have character flaws. Oh, because you want everybody to think you're the perfect woman, the perfect man, the perfect husband, and the perfect wife, and the perfect mother, and the perfect father. But the truth be told, baby, you're a raggedy excuse for a husband. You're a raggedy excuse for a wife. You're a piss poor daddy, a piss poor mama. You're a raggedy friend. I know you call yourself a friend, but guess what? No, you're friendly, but you can't keep a friend. Oh, I'm going to help you right there. You're a raggedy excuse for a friend. Yes, you are. You're a raggedy minister. You're a raggedy preacher. You're a raggedy pastor, a raggedy prophet, a raggedy prophetess, a raggedy servant. Yes, you are a raggedy intercessor, a raggedy praiser, a raggedy worshiper, a raggedy child, a raggedy grade school child, a raggedy high school child, middle school child, college age child, raggedy, just raggedy. Why? Because you think it don't get no better than you. If you don't do it, it can't, won't be done. What a deception. How many times we've threatened for, I leave. And we be like, leave. You don't think folk would be better off without you. Because you don't think it get no better than you. Because some of us say, it don't get no better. I've said, it don't get no better than me. I don't care who come behind me. It don't get no better than me. And I meant it. No. You think I'm supposed to think less of myself? No, I'm not saying my thinking is right. But I ain't about to think less of myself. I ain't about to be like, oh, he's better than me. He could do better. He could do. Devil, you a lie. You probably can. But you can't beat me worshiping. You can't beat me praying. You might have more money, but you can't beat me believing God. Because guess what? If your body gets sick, your money might stop. If my body gets sick, I'm going to say God raise me up off of this sick bed. I'm going to say God touch and heal. See, that's just how I be looking at stuff. Pride, though, swollen character. Y'all know somebody, swollen. It's just filled with all kind of pus and yucky stuff. All kind of yellow stuff. White stuff, green stuff. Okay, you know what? We'll take out the yellow, we'll take out the white, and we'll just leave green. We'll leave that envy. Full of envy, full of pride and jealousy. Yeah, pride. All this is in the heart. And then he says what? Foolishness. That don't even need to be interpreted. I'm calling you no fool. But the truth be told, most of us, you know how to act a fool. Don't get your way. You just morphed into that. Just, you know what I'm saying? Fool be straight transforming to a fool. Yeah. Don't get your way and watch you transform. Notice. I be putting them on notice at my children's school. I said, listen, I ain't no fool, but I know how to act a fool. When it comes to my babies, I will act a slam fool of Officer Tucker. I'm telling you in advance, if something go wrong with my children, bruh, I'm just going to put my hands behind my back. Because I already know you walking me up out of here. I'm going to put you on notice. I'm leaving the school just like this. It's okay, because I'm telling you how I'm leaving. So you need to know who you're dealing with. And guess what? He like, Rev, I appreciate that truth. I ain't going to try to fight you because my issue ain't with you. I'm going to calmly give you my hands. I'm just trying to let you know how I'm leaving the school when it comes to my babies. He like, Rev, I came with you. I'm just telling you a truth, OT. You got to understand. You need, when it comes to my baby, I'm transforming on them. See, I almost had a conniption when I saw the principal. This is going on the second year. I saw the principal not one time the whole year. As much as I be in the school, never saw the principal. And then the fact that she denied me for the school, y'all know I had an alt against her, right? I said, I'm waiting to see this Hispanic. Oh, yeah. See, that's how I was talking. I'm waiting to see this Hispanic. I got a little words for her. Showed up. I was waiting for her. And then this year, walking with rain. I'm speed walking, trying to get exercise. Right? Yo, listen, I got to kill two birds with one stone, man. That's a long walk I got to walk, Rain, right? So I'm walking. I'm like, come on, Rain, come on. Daddy, girl, come on. You know what I mean? Like, you know, my stride is much larger than her, so she's trying to keep up. About near sweating by the time she get to class. Shirt all wet, sweat, trying to keep up. And I messed around and ran and saw the prince. I was like, I stopped in my tracks, y'all, because I had a decision to make. Do I say something? It was like an attic where my fingers got all twitchy. I was like, so I looked at my child and was like, no, Lincoln, don't do it. Don't. Come on, Rain. I just had to walk on by. Because I don't like that fact that you going to lie and say I haven't reached out to you. You a lie. You a lie. So I'm thinking, you got the right one. I don't care nothing about you, the principal. I already put the officer on alert, principal. See, that's how I was going to go. Like, I got another word for it, but. Will y'all give me the liberty to say my word one time over the microphone? Just one time. Ain't nothing crazy. No, you can edit it, man. I done gave you enough time to edit it. He said, all these evil things come. Cue my music. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. What defiled the man is already there. This stuff comes from within. They put me to say my word. I have this word that I'm going to trademark. I have this one word that I'm going to trademark. Now, if you say it and you don't give me credit for it, I am the type of person I will sue you. I just want you to understand. But when you deal with stuff like that, a bunch of ignorant stuff like that, and a bunch of ignorant people, I have a word that will sum it up. It is called negativity. You know I had to say it. Aaliyah was pushing me. Aaliyah was like, and that don't be helping me when Aaliyah be over there doing that, like, you know what I mean? But it's that's what it's called, because it's a bunch of ignorant people doing ignorant stuff. And we know what N-I-G-G, star, star. It's not just a black person. It's an ignorant individual. So I'm speaking to ignorant people doing ignorant stuff. And it is called, I already said the word, I'm not going to say it again. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. So this is a word to your heart. God wants to deal with your heart. The thing that is defiling you is in your heart. And I'm suggesting to you that your heart, some days, most days, many days, it is the whore, in fact. Your heart is at intercourse with many of these evil things. And God is trying to get our hearts delivered. God is trying to check our hearts. So like the scriptures say, don't just honor him with your lips. But honor him with your lips. Yeah, crank it up. We honor him with your lips, but also honor him with your heart.